At LV, our car insurance comes from the heart. That's why we've just launched our new multi-car cover. One policy and one renewal date means it's one simple way for you to save on your family's cars. So just imagine how much you can save by insuring two, three, or even more cars with us. To get your exclusive multi-car discount from the Which? Insurance Provider of the Year 2017, go direct to lv.com. T's and C's apply.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Back on the scene. With your host, yeah. Podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 627. This is your host, Danny. And this week, we have a big interview with Michael Pachter all about the Nintendo Switch. We asked him a lot of questions about that and also a bonus question about Xbox Scorpio. But first, I'm going to play also an audio that I recorded with my brother. He pre-ordered the Nintendo Switch. So a lot of people are curious why others pre-ordered this console, like me, Mandy, and a few other people too, man. So we're going to play this audio too with my brother. But first, head over to GamertagRare.com or play.it/GamertaG. Listen to our past episodes. Spread the word. And you can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so first let's play this short audio interview with my brother, Nano. I asked him, why did he pre-order the Nintendo Switch?
I think the main reason that I ordered the Nintendo Switch was its portable features, you know, like having a console that you could take out with you and have those multiplayer battles and full online features on the road and on the go. Like that's probably one of the biggest things that Nintendo hasn't really capitalized on. And I think they had a good head start with the Wii U. The tablet was cool. It was different, but it felt like it was lacking something. And I think being able to, split the Joy-Con controllers up and play with anybody anywhere is probably the best feature Nintendo's come out with. What I know of online services is just that they're going to integrate a lot of smartphone compatibility. And I know that the service is paid for this year. So that's one of the biggest letdowns, since Nintendo's always had probably the worst online service, but they were free. And, you know, now paying for it, I'd want to see a lot more upgrades, more, downloads, free games, something to, like, make it worth my money. Because I still don't know the price point. So, yeah. So if it's around $60, like PlayStation Plus or Xbox Live, then they better offer all the features that Xbox and PlayStation offers. Battery life is one of my biggest concerns, because they stated it was 3 to 6 hours or somewhere around there, 2.5 or... But that, I just feel like they're giving too broad of a spectrum. Like a 3 hour gap is like too much for me. Like if they would have told me 4 to 5 hours, I'd believe it. But from 3 to 6 hours, I'm going to go with 3 hours, you know, like it, because you're going to use it a lot. You're probably going to have the brightness and the sound on all the way up. So you're going to use up a lot of battery life. So if it's a fully portable system, then it should have at least minimum 5 to 6 hours, you know. Who's going to plug it in all the time? Like, you're not buying outlet or... I pre-ordered the system because I'm a Nintendo fanboy at the end of the day. Like, anything they put out is... I'm going to go for it. I bought the Wii U reluctantly, you know? Like, I didn't really want to buy it because I wasn't a fan of the Wii. But I trust Nintendo just because they have strong first-party games. The Wii U wasn't backed by third-party developers as much as all the other consoles, but they still had some gems, you know, like the system had its perks. The Switch, I'm hoping they kind of expand a little more. But they, you know, like they have a very open road in front of them, and they they have the possibility to be one of the best systems. Being portable, new online features, multiplayer looks like it's going to be a real big part of the system. So hopefully that drives it into like the competitive standpoint where PlayStation's at and Xbox. I think $300 is a fair starting point for the system. Like, you don't really, you know, like the only time you buy a system less than $300 is when it's already been reduced. Like, no new system is going to come out for anything less than that. And I think it was fairly priced. Like, for all the features that it has, it's it brings the dock for your HDTV. You know, like, you can leave it at home. If you want to take it on the go, no other system offers that. And, you know, a PlayStation right now is about the same price. And you can't take that with you. Honestly, the Joy-Cons, I hate the way they look. And it looks like it's uncomfortable. But it's something new to get used to. Like, I wasn't a fan of the GameCube controller, the 64 controller. But Nintendo's just always had really crappy controllers for my hands. You know, like, I like big, bulky controllers like Xbox or PlayStation. They fit my hands really well. The Joy-Cons look really small, and they're kind of expensive, man. Like, $80 for just a new set is... And on top of that, it's just the Joy-Con controllers. You have to pay for the dock, which is $30 extra. So the controller comes out to $100. That's really expensive. But the system comes with two Joy-Cons to begin with. So, you know, it's an accessory you don't really need off the, you know, from the start. But the controller looks interesting, man. Like, you just, I have to feel it. I haven't felt the way, you know, it plays or how the motion sensor is on it. But from the trailers that I saw, like, it looks like it reacts well. And everybody, like, was gripping it well. It wasn't like a Wii U controller, you know? I mean, the Wii controller, yeah, the nunchuck or all that stuff. Like, that was a hazard. What I didn't see, what I'm hoping on, is a new Dragon Age. Something along the lines of, like, an RPG. I haven't seen it yet. I hope they bring something out like that. But from the games that they did announce, I liked Fire Emblem. Was good. You know, Legend of Zelda is, like, the go-to game. And ARMS looks interesting. I pre-ordered it just because there was very few options. And it was either that or 1-2 Switch. And that game just looks like a bunch of like mini games. And it looked like a revamped Wii Sports. And I didn't want that. You know, I wanted a new experience. And ARMS looks like a cool first IP. You know, it's a brand new game, new concept. It looks, you know, fun. So I'm going to give it a shot. But I personally hate any boxing games that are motion controlled, you know, like, is for the most part, you get tired and you're not going to swing your arm around. I had the same problem with Twilight Princess when that game first came out, and you could play with the nunchuck and you would swing Link's sword around. After 30 minutes, that movement got so old, I just flicked my wrist because it was boring, you know, like that motion sensor is cool. It's gimmicky, but I won't buy a game just for it. Mario Kart 8 looks good, but it's another refurbish, you know, like, they just added more characters, I think, different carts and new levels, right? But it looks like the same game, and it'll be better if they add, like, better online features, you know, because, like, Nintendo's, what was it, their friend code that they have, that's probably the worst feature I've ever seen on any console or, like, online feature, like, to add friend requests or any of that. It was confusing. You can't add anybody. It's like a 16-digit code. If they can have something with gamer tags where they implement that into their games, then that'll be a big, you know, improvement.
All right. Shout out to Nano. That was a great conversation. Very interesting conversation about the Nintendo Switch. So, but Pete, I know we have a sponsor for this week, Blue Apron, right?
Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient recipe delivery service in the country. And their mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. I know we've done things similar to this in the past, and I know I've been a big fan and a big proponent of things like this. It takes the thinking out of shopping for groceries and having to sit down and figure out what you want to do for cooking, especially in the case of, like, Paris and myself, who we're going to the gym and we're trying to stay and eat healthy. It gives us an opportunity to not settle on just regular foods that we would normally go into. One of the cool things about Blue Apron also is they've got these partnerships with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the United States. And as a result, the food that we get comes from responsibly raised environments. Produce is also sourced from farms that practice regenerative farming, and 99% of the foods can be delivered to the continental U.S. So you're probably asking, how can we get this food? So it's about, it's if you come out to once you configure the meals that you want, it comes out to about $10 per person per meal. And they'll deliver seasonal recipes along with pre-proportioned ingredients to make sure that your food is delicious and cooked at home. So all you have to do is go to blueapron.com/gamertag. That's blueapron.com/gamertag and get your first three meals free with free shipping. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/gamertag. blueapron.com/gamertag. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
All right, thanks, Pete. And now we're going to play the interview with Michael Pachter. So let's play it right now. See you in a few.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. Check it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we're back here, and we have special guests, as always. Every time there's, like, a big news, we always invite Michael Pachter to the show, man. So, Michael Pachter, welcome back.
Thank you. Love being on.
Yeah, the last time we had had you on was during E3 and stuff, so I know one of the conversations we talked about was Nintendo Switch and Zelda and all that stuff. So, actually, at that time, it was still NX, the NX at that time during E3. But now with this whole announcement, man, and the press conference, everything they had a couple of days ago, what are your thoughts about the console now?
You know, it doesn't, I mean, we didn't learn much about the actual device. But, you know, it looks exactly like what we saw in the 3-minute video. I don't think anything was particularly surprising about, you know, how the Joy-Cons work. So to me, the big revelations were price, the price of accessories, and then the software lineup. And you know, in fairness to them, I think the software lineup's far better than I expected. Much more first-party content than I've ever seen, as I can recall, from a Nintendo launch. And you know, they'll probably say they had 30 games when the Wii launched, but you know, I count 6 that I actually want to play that are coming out in 2017. That I think most gamers will want to play. And, you know, light on third party, better Japanese third party than Western third party, and a higher than expected price point and much higher than expected accessory pricing. So, you know, we'll see. I think the fanboys are going to buy it because there's enough Nintendo content to support that purchase. But I think, you know, families who are looking for a console are going to take into account the, you know, the depth of the software offering, and it's pretty thin outside of the Nintendo first party.
Do you think that was the right price, $299, for this?
In 2013, yes. You know, when the Xbox was $500 and the PlayStation was $400. In 2017, no. Both Xbox One and PlayStation 4 are nominally $299. Regularly discounted below that, and at least for the last 4 or 5 weeks have been offered software bundle. So I don't think so. I don't think Nintendo can convince somebody that a Switch is a better purchase for their first console in the house than an Xbox or a PlayStation with, you know, a couple of hundred titles available. And perhaps more importantly, you know, most people who buy a console want to play FIFA, or they want to play Call of Duty, or they want to play Grand Theft Auto. And those games just aren't available on the Switch. And, you know, FIFA says it will be. I'm curious to see if you get FIFA 18 or you get FIFA 15. I was actually surprised that the NBA 2K game announced was 2018. So it looks like Take-Two's going to, you know, make that game day and date with the other NBA games. But I'm not seeing that a lot from other publishers.
Mm. Well, can considering when you buy the actual Switch and then you get a game and an expandable SD card, because you're going to need it with only 32 gigs of storage and potentially either a Pro or another Joy-Con grip to play with, you're already treading close to $450 to $500. And this is all before any potential online services, if that's something that you're going to do to take advantage of the FIFA's or the 2K game, you know, the NBA 2K. Do you think that now that it gets closer to that 400, you know, maybe 450, 500, where now you're looking at potentially being in the same price range as a PS4 Pro or potentially, because we still don't know, maybe Scorpio, do you think it aligns it as a leader?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think that this thing appears, just based on the software line from third parties, not to be up to, you know, the regular PS4, PS4 Slim, or the Xbox One S. So to compare it to the PS4 Pro, you know, with what do they call it? I always forget. It's not HD. HDR. Is it HDR? Yeah, HDR. And the Xbox One Scorpio with full HD, you know, 4K. I mean, that you can't compare. So you're right about, you know, the cost of the accessories. And I have to say, you know, Nintendo has pretty consistently presented itself as a, you know, a console for the masses and not, you know, not focused on the hardcore exclusively. I mean, clearly their software is focused on the hardcore, but, you know, their games are approachable and everybody likes Mario. You know, some people are just a lot more into finding every little star, every little thing. But most of the masses aren't going to think about, you know, the necessity to buy an extra pair of Joy-Con controllers or an extra charging station and docking station. So I think 300 is, you know, the advertised price is probably what will be perceived by most consumers as the price. And I don't think people give a whole lot of thought. It's not like, you know, there are very many games. I mean, I guess, you know, 1-2 Switch is one, but not very many games require two sets of Joy-Con controllers. So, you know, people just won't buy that. And I'm sure it's going to be labeled very clearly on the game if it requires a second set. I'm sure they'll also bundle the Joy-Con controllers with that title, you know, once the title comes out. They did this once before. I remember they had an extra remote thrown in with the game, and you needed a second remote.
Pacta, do you think that was the right move for Nintendo to release this in March instead of the holidays?
After the debacle of the NES Classic, I absolutely did it. I think that, you know, Nintendo, I'll give them a whole lot of credit. I think they're managing their hardware business prudently, and I think that, you know, they obviously didn't expect as much demand for the Super NES Classic as they saw. So, you know, they didn't manufacture enough of them. They absolutely don't want to make the mistake, you know, making 10 million Switches and then having demand for 2 million and they're screwed up. You know, they've overproduced, because that's a lot of money. I mean, if they're selling this thing for $300, it has to cost them, you know, between 150 and 200 bucks to make. And so, you know, they certainly can't afford to make several million more than will be demanded. So if you take Christmas out of the equation, you eliminate the gift giver. You know, I mean, obviously some of us have wealthy families who will buy us anything. You know, my wife will buy me anything I ask her for. But, you know, without a special occasion, that's going to be a very small percentage of units. And the people who buy on March 3rd are going to be, you know, the core gamer who wants to buy for themselves. So I actually think it's smart. I think the second thing is that we tend to look at holiday and we look at launch lineup as the holiday lineup. And I actually remember, you know, when the Wii and the Wii U came out, I remember Reggie talking about the proposed lineup through March 31st. You know, so he kind of looked out 4 or 5 months. This, you know, launching in March lets them look out 9 months. You know, they can look out through the end of 2017, and it still feels like a launch lineup. So I actually think it's super smart to launch when demand will necessarily be lower and when they have an opportunity to actually satisfy demand.
A couple of months ago, you mentioned that you feel the NX at the time, or now known as the Switch, would have a 60% success rate. Do you still feel that that's, do you still feel like that's viable, or do you think it's going to be a little, it's going to be more successful?
60%. I'm sorry. I don't remember what I said. So yeah.
Yeah. So you had mentioned that it had a 60% chance of success because it was going to be what's going to be known as a convergence device. And it could sell as much as 30 million units when it hits the shelves.
That had it been a $200 device, I think this would have been the Wii kind of all over again. And I think people would have been intrigued by it. I think the 50 million or 50, now 53 million PS4 owners, at least half of them would have thought, shoot, I can play all the Nintendo games for another $200. What the heck? And I've already got a PS4, so I can play all the FIFA and Grand Theft Auto I want. So, you know, I think that my high percentage chance of success selling 30 million units was more a function of pricing. And of course, back when they first, you know, leaked the NX, we weren't 100% certain, you know, what the PS4 Pro was going to cost. I think that they're about the same week. But I think other competing consoles have come down in price too far to make a $300 Nintendo Switch a likely successful selling console. With that said, I think that in the first 9 months, they'll sell 6 or 7 million units, maybe 8. It's not going to be, a 3.9 million the way the Wii U sold very slowly. And I say that because the software lineup is great. So I think that you have enough, you know, first-party Nintendo content. And as I said, you know, I count Zelda, Mario Kart, Splatoon 2, which I thought Splatoon was one of the best games. The last time I touched my Wii U, but I really thought it was a great game. Odyssey, Fire Emblem, Xenoblade, those are core games. You know, there's enough there to bring in the super hardcore gamer and to bring in the casual gamer. You know, the Mario Karts and Super Mario Odyssey will bring in more casual than Splatoon. Xenoblade and Fire Emblem are going to bring in the core gamer. I think they will sell twice as many in that first, you know, 9 month window as they sold Wii U. The question is beyond 2017. And if you don't get any real meaningful third party support, this thing's going to be a repeat of the Wii U. If you can't play any other games, and I'm talking in terms of units, if you can't play the 5 or 6 most popular games on other consoles, you have a problem with that. And the Japanese just aren't making the 5 or 6 most popular games on other consoles. Look at Bethesda. You know, their support is Skyrim. When did that come out? 2009 or 2010? You know, so they're bringing a very old game back. No Fallout 4, you know, like, which is their most recent, because it's on next gen. So it appears to me that most publishers won't spend the money to port something from PS4 or an Xbox One down to the Switch, because I think it's too expensive to redo all the graphics. So we'll see. I mean, again, Take-Two surprised me with NBA 2K18, you know, as a launch window title coming out in September.
But also, you know, E3 is in a couple of months, and I think they're saving more big announcements for that event. Like, you know, I know there's been rumors about Beyond Good and Evil, maybe a new Metroid game. I think that would be like the right time for them to announce maybe a couple of games for 2017, some sort of surprises, and also for next year for 2018. What are your thoughts about that?
Well,
if that happens,
Nintendo for sure will announce more stuff in development, and there will be partners that announce, you know, bottom-up great games. But, you know, if it's Puyo Puyo Tetris, which sounds totally fun, but it's not a system seller, you know, if it's games like that, then I don't think so. I forgot what they call the milking the cow thing. That's just not going to be a system seller. You know, that's gimmicky and fun, but it's not a system seller. So, you know, if Take-Two shows up at E3 and says Red Dead Redemption will be on the Switch, I'm changing my tune. You know, if you get third-party support like that, if Activision says Call of Duty, if EA says Star Wars Battlefront, but I didn't hear those things at this Switch presentation.
And what are your thoughts about the online service? Because that's kind of, it's kind of very different compared to Sony and Microsoft, you know, using a smartphone app for you to find your friends, matchmaking, also voice chat through there too. Do you have an idea how much you think they're probably going to charge the consumer? Because this is like the first time doing this.
You know, I think Nintendo just doesn't understand online multiplayer. And I think they just don't understand, you know, how to work an online store. And that's kind of obvious in the design of the device because it comes with such low storage. You know, what I was surprised at, and I actually kind of speculated that this clearly wrong. I thought perhaps the docking station would have, you know, 500 gigabyte hard drive built in. And that would have been cool. You know, so you could download games to that, and then you could upload games to the tablet to take on the go. They didn't do that. So they don't seem to understand online at all. And I think Nintendo has a, I think they have a shortcoming where they think they have to change everything and that change is always good. So, you know, different is always better. And sometimes, you know, things are just proven to work and they make sense. I mean, like, for example, just the conventional game controller, which essentially Nintendo invented, it works. You know, and so Sony ripped it off and Microsoft ripped it off and we all use, you know, analog sticks and you know, X, Y, A, B buttons or square, triangle, you know, circle, whatever this stuff, X buttons, and, you know, shoulder trigger. I mean, that makes sense. And so I think Nintendo thinks that it has to change the way we do multiplayer, we do online store, we do chat, we do everything. I think that's a horrible mistake. Microsoft and Sony have taken that to near perfection. You've got at least 50 or 60 million people playing multiplayer every month, and they love doing it on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Why would Nintendo deviate from that? So, no, I don't think it will.
Well, is there a reason for Nintendo that's already the dominant market leader for handhelds? Because I want to keep this in the hardware discussion. Does it make sense for them to continue putting two different handheld or mobile SKUs on shelves?
I don't know that they will after the Switch launches if in fact it becomes widely successful and if they, you know, have the level of sales that I think they expect, it'll probably replace the handheld. I don't know though. I think that they, you know, they are making a lot of money on the DS. And even though, you know, we may kind of diss the 3DS and say, well, nobody's really buying it anymore because, you know, it's run its course, it's selling 13 million units or something. I mean, it's doing super well. So I think that they're making too much money to discontinue. And if this thing takes over, they start selling so many of these. And I mean, if 3DS sales drop to, you know, to 2 or 3 million a year, and this thing is selling 15, sure, I think they'll pull it. At the current price points, I don't think so. I think you'll see the 3DS be consistently $99. And they'll sell another, you know, 50 million of them. I mean, there's plenty of people at that price point. I think that's one of the things that went into the $300 pricing on Switch, that they want to keep them as SKUs.
Going back to the discussion of the launch and stuff like that, do you think that them announcing this close to launch, actually, did it surprise you? Because I know a couple months back you had mentioned that if Nintendo was going to go to market in March, then they'd have, you know, shown it already. And I think this was around E3. So did this catch you off guard?
You know, they have it in their financials for this year, and they said a March launch, or they said that they're going to launch it this fiscal year before they showed the video. So they've been saying it for a year. I guess the surprise to me is that they actually were able to do what they said they were going to do. But no, I mean, they said it. I take them at their word. They certainly had every intention to deliver, you know, so I'm not surprised with that perspective.
One of the things I mentioned this to the guys in the last episode is that I could see Nintendo maybe create a VR for this console and also take advantage of the Joy-Cons because, like, you know, for those that have a PlayStation, if they want to get the full VR experience, they need to buy the PlayStation Move and stuff like that. So I could see Nintendo doing something like that with the Joy-Cons controllers if they do release like a VR for the console. Do you think that's possible? What are your thoughts about that, if that happens?
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't know if the console can support VR. But, you know, is the console powerful enough to support VR? So, sure. I mean, I think that Nintendo, you know, Nintendo for the last several years has been, you know, a day late and a dollar short. I mean, they've been launching their products, you know, out of sync with the rest of the console manufacturers. They've done this. The Wii was out of sync and worked and was underpowered. The Wii U was out of sync and worked and didn't work. This is out of sync, and we'll see. So I don't think they're ready for VR. I don't think if they were, this thing would be as powerful as a PS4. And to be honest with you, the reason we have the PS4 Pro is the PS4 only renders in 900,000 pixels per eye. 1080p is 2 million. Oculus is 2.6. So the PS4 Pro was to get, you know, VR up to 2 million pixels. The Xbox One Scorpio, 2 million pixels. I mean, these guys are trying to get, you know, the consoles up to where the VR experience is as good as it is in an Oculus demo. The Switch is not going to support that. I don't think there's any chance that they support that.
Of the announced games so far, which games are you looking forward to checking out personally? And are there any games yet to be announced that you'd like to see?
Okay, I'm a total spaz when it comes to Nintendo games. Like, no, I mean, like, I spaz in both a good and a bad way. Like, I finished every Mario game ever. Like, I just love those games. I freaking hate Mario Kart. I don't get it. I hate Smash Brothers, which they haven't announced. But I don't get it. You know, I hate fighting games. I absolutely hate them. I thought, and I like Zelda games, but I've never been compelled to finish one. I think I finished Ocarina of Time on the, whatever it was, Game Boy Advance or DS, probably Game Boy Advance. I thought Splatoon was great. Again, there was no finish, but I thought that game was really, really good. So for me, Splatoon and Super Mario Odyssey are the two that I really am looking forward to playing. I have never gone more than two levels into a Fire Emblem game. Don't get it. Don't care. Xenoblade is not my kind of game. So, you know, but those are the ones I think will sell the system. So Zelda, Mario Kart, Splatoon, Super Mario Odyssey, Fire Emblem, and Xenoblade. And for me, Odyssey and Splatoon are the ones I'm going to absolutely play. Maybe Zelda. I'll probably play Puyo Puyo Tetris because it looks fun, but I don't think it's a system seller. And I won't play Skyrim. You know, I got Skyrim remastered on the PS4. I don't want to play it on the Switch. So, you know, I'd say of the third-party titles, Minecraft. Like, I think Minecraft could actually do super well on the Switch. And I think that positions it to sell well to families. But, you know, without teenagers, I just don't see how this works. And teenagers play Call of Duty. And they play FIFA, you know, they play GTA. So, you know, without those, I think you're limiting yourself to families and Nintendo fanboys.
Well, I'm going to ask you a non-Nintendo Switch question. I believe a couple months ago, I read that you think that Scorpio is going to be $399. You still think that way? If so, why?
Well, I mean, consistent with my criticism of Nintendo, if Microsoft prices this thing higher, they've got a problem. So, you know, I know that the guts are pretty powerful, and I know that, you know, that they're really trying to build something that's a mid-cycle upgrade, that's a huge upgrade over the Xbox One. So if the Xbox One is still $300, and I don't think it will be next Christmas, then they might have the guts to charge more than $399. But I think PS4 laid the gauntlet down and said that's the price for PS4 Pro. So I don't see Scorpio charging more. If they do, they're going to have to explain why it's better. And if Sony's smart, and they are, PS4 Pro will be $349 next Christmas. So if PS4 Pro is $349, what's Microsoft going to tell you? You got to buy ours in case you get a 4K TV. Now, the only thing these guys have going for them is that 4K TVs have become what LED TVs became a few years ago, where, you know, when you first got a big screen, flat screen TV, you had to buy LCD and they're 5 inches thick. Now you can't even find an LCD TV. They're all LED. That's what 4K will be in 2 or 3 years. There's just not going to be any reason to make 1080p. So maybe people will buy the 4K TV and they need a console that powers games in 4K. Microsoft can sell that, but you still need developers to make 4K games. I think that's several years out. So launch $399, anything above that, I think is asking for the thing to sit on the shelves and gather dust.
Hey, you want to follow up with that or no?
No, I'm good.
You're good. All right. No, the reason is too, Pactor, we've been debating for like a couple months now. You know, there, you know, I've been saying I could see this minimum 350, high 399, and a lot of people saying if they do charge 399, then they might not have it as powerful how they were promoting it during E3 last year. You know, so if they are gonna have this as the most powerful console, then they're probably going to put a lot of stuff in there that is going to be more expensive instead of just $399, you know? So,
well,
what are they putting in it?
So that's all right. So that's what I wanted to talk about. Cause I know AMD is working on a combo socket that combines the Zen chip with the new GPU that they're designing. I can't remember the name of it. I think it's Ridge something. So it gives them an opportunity to use the new AMD Zen and the new GPU. It's the one that comes after Polaris. So it's a smaller form factor. You have it on a single sock. You don't have to worry about making the box bigger to accommodate heat sinks or what have you, but you still take advantage of the newer tech to potentially give you this 4K stuff. So I don't know if it's something that Microsoft is already using, because last we read, it was still an experimental phase with AMD.
And again, it's like, ask yourself what gamers want. You know, we want to play games. And so I don't really care if the device does my laundry, you know, and is a microwave. No, I'm just saying that, you know, there's some stuff you can build in that's natural. So 4K... I get it if you have a 4K display. VR, I get it if it actually works. Then you got to buy a headset. You know, so it's not that compelling if they say, hey, buy an Oculus headset and it'll work with the Xbox Scorpio. That's probably what they're going to do. I mean, I expect that is the big gimmick. But, you know, I'm not paying up for an Xbox Scorpio so that I can go out and buy Oculus for $600-$800, you know, with the paddles. I mean, I think that market isn't as big as perhaps Microsoft thinks. So I don't really care what else they put in there. I think we're getting way ahead of ourselves.
All right. Well, Pactor, man, I just want to say once again, thanks for always supporting us and, you know, letting us record this interview and everything, man. So it's been great, man. Any updates with you? Any update with you going on?
Nah, same old shit.
Nah. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Michael.
Got to get my E3 invitations out. You guys always remind me it's time to go get it printed.
Oh, you know, we're always there every year.
Yeah, you know, it's actually, I hope they keep having the E3 because I like that party. That's like the highlight of my year. The fun few hours. So looking forward to seeing you guys.
Absolutely. Definitely, man. All right, thanks a lot, man.
All right, be well. Happy New Year.
All right, feel better.
Happy New Year, man.
Back on the scene. This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, a shout out to Michael Pactor for the interview. Head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it/GamerTag. Listen to our past episode there. You also could find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening. listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.